This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rick Sincere is a former chairman of the Libertarian Party here in Virginia. He's online at ricksincere.com, and he joins us live in studio. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
I'm doing well, Coy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Is it raining out there?
No, but it's blustery.
Yeah. Oh, so the wind's picked up.
Yeah, it's windy, cloudy. Looks like it's going to rain.
There you go. Okay, hopefully it won't. The radar says most of the rain has moved through, but we'll have some more weather for you at the top of the hour. Let's start. We were talking, Rick, in the last half hour with Congressman Perriello, and he was sort of weighing in with some of his thoughts about the Tea Party movement, which in many ways, some of the things I've been reading about it, it's so decentralized and so leaderless, in terms of a national leader and a national figure, that it's almost more of a values movement than it is a political movement. It's really shared values more than shared politics, which I think is very, very interesting and could be quite formidable for that very reason, that it is so decentralized and so based on shared values and not shared politics. And it's everybody's sort of rushing to own the Tea Party right now and make sure that their values are in there. But it's really taken on a life of its own. And you had an opportunity to attend, what was it, a march?
On Sunday, there was the 9/12 Taxpayer March on Washington, which was a second annual event sponsored mostly by Freedom Works, which is a grassroots organizing firm, nonprofit based in Washington. As a matter of fact, while I was there, I had an opportunity to interview former House Majority Leader Dick Armey, who's the chairman of Freedom Works, and he's just written a book about the Tea Party called Give Us Liberty. And I talked to him about the book and about the Tea Party movement. And by coincidence, on Monday, I was up at George Mason University, where I was asked to lecture to a class taught by Professor Mark Rozelle, who's an expert in public policy and political science.
Yes, smart guy.
Virginia politics.
Very smart guy.
And I asked him about the Tea Party, and it's funny that both of them, one coming from an activist point of view and one coming from the sort of political outside observer point of view, were both talking about how the Tea Party really is leaderless. It's a spontaneous... It's an example of Friedrich Hayek's theory of spontaneous order. This is just a genuine grassroots phenomenon that each Tea Party group is as different as the individuals who make it up. I like to give the example of the Tea Parties in the 5th District of Virginia, couldn't even agree on a candidate to endorse in the Republican primary. They have different points of view. But one thing that it's very clear to me is as I've looked at the Tea Party, I've participated in their events, I've observed their events from the outside, I've talked to their leaders, is that this is a very focused movement in that they're only concerned about a few issues that they agree on: fiscal responsibility, opposition to the national health care reform program of the Obama administration, lower taxes, lower regulation, and a chance for people to flourish in a free market economy. They are either agnostic about or deferring talk about social issues, divisive social issues like abortion, gay marriage, gay rights in general. They just don't, and even to a certain extent, immigration, although a lot of individual Tea Party groups will talk about immigration. But they really want to have a unified point of view on those fiscal issues, and they are single-minded, laser-like on those issues.
We're talking with Rick Sincere, and the phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. Rick, Congressman Perriello sort of brought up an issue that I've seen written about and read about on blogs and in other media as well, this idea that there is real corporate interests are funding the Tea Party movement and funding organizations that support the Tea Party movement, and that it's something of a faux populist revolt against the U.S. government, against moderate Republicans, but that this was all planned and scripted and funded by corporate interests who are ultimately fighting any future Obama legislation. Your thoughts?
That That's just a calumny. It's not true. The Tea Party movement, and anybody who knows who's involved in the Tea Party, almost across the board, people who are involved in the Tea Party are people who were not involved in politics until the past couple of years, when they first got fed up with the Bush administration, and then they got fed up with the Obama administration, and they really spontaneously, as a matter of community organizing, got together. The Tea Party... At best, you could say that people who started the Tea Party went to some of the more established groups for advice, groups like FreedomWorks, which has been around for about 15 years or so, because they had a website that said, we'll help you organize a grassroots rally. But if you look at the history of the Tea Party, it was individuals who just decided on their own to go out and protest, in particular, the Obama administration's policy proposals. But these were people who were simmering with anger at the end of the Bush administration. I heard one commentator say the other day that if Bush had been in power for another year, he would be the focus of all of the Tea Party marches now. But it happens that all the bad things that the Bush administration did that made the Tea Party folks angry happened towards the end of the administration, so he wasn't around to bear the brunt of their anger.
Yeah, I mean, he authorizes all this money to go to Wall Street so they can still, pay their managers their bonuses for, jobs where they ran their companies into the ground and bankrupt their own companies, and we bailed them out so they could still pay their managers billions in bonuses. All of that was authorized under the Bush administration. He walks out, Obama gets in, and they're left having to implement that plan.
Right. And especially the more libertarian elements in the Tea Party movement were upset about that, because what the Bush administration did was disrupted the communication system that the market is. There's nothing that is too big to fail. You have to let the market take its course. All we're doing is we're shifting economic crises from one time to another. The Bush administration and the Obama administration simply do not recognize that the market has to work itself out. You can't interfere with it and hope that you make things better.
We're talking with Rick Sincere, and the phone lines are open, 977-1070. You also shift the crisis not just from a time to another, but from a part of society to another part of society, from the folks who would have lost their jobs and wouldn't have gotten any bonuses and would have lost their companies on Wall Street, to the rest of us who have to bail them out.
Right. And, we're talking about very talented people in most cases who would be able to find themselves new jobs or start their own businesses. Free market economists and libertarian economists like to talk about what is seen and what is unseen. We have a $787 billion stimulus, which, if you do the math, means that you really could have just issued a check for $200,000 to every American citizen. But instead, they've used it for social engineering purposes. Everything's politicized. We don't know what that $787 billion would have been spent on if it were just in the economy for individuals to decide how to use it. Instead, it's being used for politically approved purposes because of what particular congressmen, especially powerful chairmen of the appropriations and budget committees, wanted to do with it, rather than what the market would say should be done with it, which is essentially what consumers and employers and workers want done with it.
Yeah. We're talking with Rick Sincere. Let's go to the phones. Randolph is with us. Hey, Randolph, thanks for the call, buddy. You go right ahead.
Hey, Coy. Hey, Rick. This is Randolph Byrd, former 5th District Chairman and recently local coordinator for Americans for Prosperity. I couldn't help but agree with Rick about who the people in the Tea Party actually are. As Republican chairman, I know every Republican, especially in the Charlottesville area, and, I'd go to some Tea Party events, and I didn't recognize seriously 70% of these folks. I didn't even know where they came from. I got a chance to talk with them later and find out that there's a lot of Democrats and disenfranchised libertarians and Republicans and just all walks of life. And it was a really interesting, eclectic mix. It reminded me, though, that there were Reagan Democrats back in the Reagan era, and those sort of disappeared and got swallowed up by other movements. All of a sudden, they're reappearing, and I think they're reappearing as Tea Party movement folks. The other thing I wanted to comment on was, as a local coordinator for Americans for Prosperity, we're sometimes confused a little bit with Tea Party activists, and we're not that at all, albeit we're a group that shares a lot in their common interests. And I have to say that because of reports that the Americans for prosperity. It's pretty much financed by oil gazillionaires from Texas, the Koch brothers, that that they think that, oh, yeah, there's this big oil interest that's controlling that. As a local coordinator, I do pretty much what I want, even at the state level. We do pretty much what we want, not taking that much direction from any individuals, and especially we don't even know who finances our organization, except that we know, but they never interfere with our behavior. And I'll leave it at that.
Well, not as long as your behavior matches what they would want. I mean, let's.
Oh, sure. I couldn't take on a position that wasn't, say, a Milton Friedman free enterprise kind of position, which is what they want as well. And by the way, that group of people are libertarians. Those brothers are well-known libertarians.
Yeah.
But the whole point is, it's sort of like they're libertarian socially, they're liberal, but you know, when it comes down to free enterprise and free market economies, that's where conservatives used to hang their hats. That's where Republicans used to hang their hats. It's when you go through 8 years of the Bush administration where they overspent. They certainly didn't look like Reagan Republicans in the way in which they operated. So, you know, everyone got mad.
Yeah. Randolph, thanks for the call. Appreciate the call, Randolph. Excellent points. And just to put a bow on that, you know, he referenced the overspending in the Bush administration, not just overspending, but also growing the government bigger and faster than any Democratic president ever had in the history of the country.
Right. The Bush administration outspent, in terms of rate of spending, outspent the Johnson administration, which not only had the Vietnam War to finance, but also the war on poverty, the creation of Medicare and Medicaid, and all sorts of social programs. The Bush administration was not conservative in any way, except perhaps on social issues.
So then what were they? Because they weren't liberal. I mean, what is it? I mean, is it a...
They were
big government
conservatives. What happened in the last 30 years or so is that you got this view among some conservatives that, you know, we can't fight big government, so we should make big government do things that we want it to do. And that's certainly not a libertarian position. It's not a Goldwater conservative position. It's something that's new, that is a break with traditional conservative small government philosophy. It's essentially saying we've lost the philosophical battle about what the proper scope and role of government is. So we're just going to manage government and make it a vehicle for the things that we like.
And grow the government.
And grow
not
the government.
Not just manage, but
right.
The Bush grew it, yeah.
Right. You know, for 30 years, since 1980 at least, the Republican Party platform has been abolish the Department of Education. It's all lip service. Instead of abolishing the Department of Education in the Bush administration, they made it bigger and expanded its growth through the No Child Left Behind Act, which was, you know, completely at odds with what Republicans and conservatives had been arguing since the late 1970s.
We're talking with Rick Sincere live in studio. The phone lines are open for you right now at 977-1070. Let's welcome Jeff to the program. Jeff, go right ahead, buddy.
Hi, guys. Very interesting conversation. Thank you guys for bringing a lot of good points out. I'd like to bring up a few points. Number one is that I'd say that FreedomWorks is probably as much grassroots as the Republican National Party is. FreedomWorks is basically an organization that was founded by Dick Armey to promote Republican, supposedly conservative ideals and that type of thing. It's like a lot of these corporations that back Republican conservative points of view put commercials on the air against Perriello and other Democratic candidates, and they call themselves, you know, something, the Public Center or the Americans for Prosperity. I mean, you know, the guy just called before Randolph was saying that, you know, Americans for Prosperity is basically financed by the Koch brothers, you know, who have made billions in the oil industry. And like you said, like you pointed out, Coy, believe me, if there was something that, you know, that he wanted to promote that wasn't along the agenda of what the Koch brothers wanted,
he'd be out of a job. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, the other thing that I'd like to bring up is the use of the word free market. Let the free market, you know, do what it wants. Well, you know, the free market is a canard. It does not exist. The free market is something that Republicans use to talk about. But everything is regulated. It's regulated by our government. Things are regulated by governments around the world. The money supply, the security, your money is a piece of paper, and basically it's secure because it's backed by the government. The airwaves, you know, what prevents somebody from, you know, tapping into your phone conversations? That kind of stuff is regulated by the government. Well, you know, if I'm, you know, within the poverty level, I don't really care if anybody listens to my phone conversations, because I'm not talking about big business deals. But it's the people who have the money and are making deals and are using all of the things that we have that we like to call the commons that really, you know, the notion of free market really doesn't exist. I mean, you know, the rich are the ones that are doing the air travel. They're the ones, you know, using all the communications. And all these things are regulated by government agencies.
Jeff, let me give Rick a chance to respond. Excellent point. There's Jeff on line two. A lot of good points there.
Yeah, I'm glad that Jeff is making my case for me, because there is too much regulation by the government. There's too much interference. The Obama administration is tapping too many people's phones in an effort to fight the so-called war on terror. We don't have a free market because the Democrats and the Republicans over the past 50 years have more and more insinuated the government into the workings of individual people who want to do business with each other freely and consensually. Jeff,
but do you understand his
right.
point that a free market never really exists because governments create them? You have to have rules in place and regulations
to
actually create the market.
But the government needs to simply provide a system in which property rights are protected, the courts enforce contracts, and people can do their business unmolested by thugs and you know, non-governmental thugs, because most of the thugs are actually with the government. But just joking there. The problem is that government has got way too big and interferes with the market at a far faster rate and a pace that it should not. You know, the free market could exist if government stood out of the way.
Yeah, and as we've talked about before, Rick, a lot of that interference is the result of invitations on the part of corporate interests and others in the market who are inviting government in to create regulations that they often themselves write that would benefit them and keep out any kind of competition or new competition.
Precisely. Yeah. If government were not so big that it could get favors to everybody who comes in with their hand held out and says, we want the government to do this for us, we want government to write a law that benefits our business, if government did not have that power and authority, we would not have the kinds of problems we have. We certainly would not have government corruption because there would be nothing to corrupt. You know, if government can't grant favors to people, there would be no favors to ask for.
Now, let me ask you this. It's more of a philosophical thing, but there's some real-world applications here. And certainly, what's your response to somebody who says, okay, I can buy that to a certain extent in terms of business, but when it comes right down to it, there is a place for government in society. And we need only think back to the days when African Americans were told that they couldn't go into certain restaurants, they couldn't sit, you know, in the front of the bus.
That was all government action. You know, because in the South in particular, and this was also true in South Africa, under apartheid, it was the business community that wanted to fight against those kinds of rules. They wanted to serve whoever they wanted, for the most part. They wanted to hire whoever they wanted, as long as it was the best person for the job. But the government stepped in and created those Jim Crow laws and those apartheid laws in South Africa and said to business, you can't do that. We don't care what the best thing for your business is. We want to make sure that you do not treat black people equally to white people.
Yeah. So then you have the result of state governments doing that, and you need the national government to come in and enforce the 14th Amendment.
Right. And in that case, we're
and
talking
in America,
about
at the end of a gun. Yeah, I mean,
right. We're talking about enforcing genuine rights to be able to live your life without being oppressed by the government. And you know, I know that there are some people who disagree that the 14th Amendment applies to the states, but it does.
Yeah.
I mean, just
the irony is that you need the power of the government to do that.
Right. And the
in
thing
some
is,
cases,
it,
yeah.
you know, it doesn't matter whether you're being repressed by your local city council on a zoning ordinance, or if you're being oppressed by the federal government by tapping your phone because they think you're a terrorist threat. The fact is that you have rights that should not be violated by government at any level.
Rick Sincere, he's online at ricksincere.com, the former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Virginia. Again, he's online, ricksincere.com. Rick, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.